Let's take a moment to remind ourselves of how fortunate we are to be listening to the teachings of the Supreme One, the Infinitely Compassionate One, the Sublime One, the Tathagata. So join me in taking a moment to worship Him by chanting Namaskara 3 times all together and with me. Namo tas bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhas. Namo tas bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhas. Namo tas bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhas. You know, it's come to a point of the year that offering flowers to the Buddha is becoming expensive. And it's not because of inflammation, no, that's also a reason, but more so that we have a very, very important date coming up. Right? I remember my mother used to complain all the time. When we come to the month of February, she always would buy flowers to offer to the Buddha. She would always complain, flowers are becoming more and more expensive. Right? Why is this? What's so special about February? Well, we have a day, right? A day dedicated to flowers and chocolate. What is it? Valentine's Day. Now, the reason why I'm talking about this is not because I want to go and say, you know, it's a convention and all this. No, because I find it really interesting. I find it very interesting that we have a day of the year that we use to celebrate chocolate. No, not chocolate, but, you know, relationships. Just like it's really interesting to see that, you know, we have a day of the year that we celebrate Mother's Day, Father's Day, Children's Day, Teacher's Day, everything day. I think currently we're coming to a point where we're running out of dates. Every single day we have a day for something. Right? We only have 365 days and we have lots of things to be grateful for. But most importantly, I really want to talk about, you know, this day, the day of Valentine's. Because this is a day that I know lots of people are looking forward for, right? Hoping that Cupid will finally wake up from whatever slumber he's in, take his bow and arrow, and take a shot. And so many people fall into this trap. See, surprisingly, it doesn't matter the age, doesn't matter where, for as long as you are accordingly a human, but it's not just humans though. For as long as you're a human and you have a mind and you have ignorance, this becomes such an important day. Such an important day. The question that has to be asked is, why? Why do we take a day to celebrate love? What's so important about it? Now, if we were to break it down and think about, okay, why do we celebrate love? It's because it's something that we all very much value. Do we not? See, from the day we came out of our mother's womb, we knew when we set eyes on our mother that what? That we loved her. And then you heard a deeper voice in the background and you turned around and you saw, or you felt something. What was that? Love for your father. And it's something that has been deeply rooted into literally our bones. From the very, very grains of your bones, we have this idea of love inside of us. Now, today, I don't want to go on and start, you know, picking and being a critique and saying about what this truly is. But I really want you to think. See, coming on this journey, right, coming on this journey of understanding, to seeing reality as it is, the one thing that you enjoy doing is asking questions. Asking questions. Why? How? Who? You know, you have the who, what, where, when, why, and how. We ask these questions. Because when you ask these questions, do you open your eyes to something completely new? So, why Valentine's? What's so special about Valentine's? Why do people look forward to Valentine's? Now, each and every one of your heads, an idea has now popped up. Not that you can control it, but it's something that's popped up. But I wanted to take a moment to start to unravel this. Why? Now they say, love is essential. That love is needed, it's a must in everyone's life. I agree. To a certain point. Because if we look at it, right, if we looked at what we really need, right, you have, you know, Maslow's hierarchy and all these great theories of looking at what we need. But if we were to break down everything that we needed, we know that we have two things. We have a body, and then we have a mind. Now, if we were to ask, what does a body really need? What is your answer? Oh, very simply, our body needs to what? Needs to move, right? Needs to do things. For that to happen, what do we need? Energy. Unfortunately, we can't photosynthesize by looking at the sun, right? We have to actually do something, consume something, we have to eat. So this is something that the body needs. What does the body need? To eat. Now, I think we've progressed, right, throughout our samsara, we've lost the meaning of food. We've completely lost the meaning of food. We've gone past the point of I'm consuming to have energy to the point that I'm consuming to experience the most amount of pleasure I possibly can. It's no longer am I full? It's do I enjoy the meal I'm having? We've lost the purpose of food. That we're eating for what? To have energy. To do what? The things that we need to do. But now it's, you know, I'm going to cook a 9-course meal. Why? So I can enjoy, so I know I can cook, number one. Number two, so I can, you know, enjoy the tastes. So that's one thing the body needs. What else? What else does the body need? Shelter. Unfortunately, we can't control the elements. Yeah. No matter how well you think you can predict the weather, we cannot. Right? You know, you can look outside and say today's not going to rain, but you know, it will rain someday. You can say, you know, today's going to be only 25 degrees Celsius, but today could be 40. Who knows? We can't predict the elements. Right? Even though we think we do, we can't. Even, you know, when you take out your phone and you search for the weather details, even those are sometimes inaccurate. Like how many times have you gone out trusting your phone that says it's not going to rain today? You go out and it starts raining. Never happened. So this is why we have shelter. What for? Shelter is for us to protect ourselves from the elements, protect ourselves from any animals that are there. And that can do any harm, right? Protect us from the rain, protect us from, well, you don't have snow in Sri Lanka, but the cold, the heat, to protect us from the elements. That's why we need shelter. So that's what the body needs. But again, we've along this journey, we've lost the idea of why we have shelter.
Now it's not,
am I dry? Now it's, how high am I? Do I have one floor? Two floors?
Three floors?
Four floors? It's not, do I feel safe? It is, how many bathrooms do I have in my house? It's no longer, am I protected from any animals? Or it's more, do I have a room for my pet? So along the path, we've lost the reason why we have what? Shelter. Why we need shelter. So we need food, nutrition, shelter. What else? Clothes. What are clothes for? Same reason. To protect us from the elements. To keep us warm when it's cold. Away from protect us from the elements. To protect us from insects like mosquitoes, like spiders and whatnot. But again, along the path, we've seemed to lost its meaning. Now it's not, am I covering what needs to be covered? More it is, do I look attractive? It's not, do I feel comfortable? It is, how does this make me look? It's really interesting because as you go through, as we journey along samsara, we've lost lots of its meaning. Trust me, if you gave me a day, I could pretty much, take a moment to critique the fashion industry, right? To go and say, why do we do all this stuff? Why do we wear these sort of things? Like, for example, it's something that we may have all experienced, but I know I've experienced, is some clothing that we wear, we don't wear because it's comfortable. I was talking to some monks, and they've told me stories of their past. And one of them, which was really surprising, but it makes sense, had really liked skinny jeans. However, he wasn't skinny enough to fit into all of them. And I kid you not, this is exactly what he told me. He would wrap his leg with shopping bags so the jeans can slip in, so he can slip into his jeans. But we've all been to the point where, when you're putting on some really tight clothes and, your foot doesn't come out of the hole and you're pulling and pulling and pulling. Why? Is it because it's comfortable? No, because you look in the mirror and you think, wow, I look good. You go around and people say, wow, you look good today. So we've lost the meaning of clothing. We've now come to the point where we're not thinking about whether we feel, whether we're protected by the elements. More that, do others find me attractive? So we've lost that meaning. And there's one other thing that the body needs. Well, unfortunately, our body becomes sick. Right, we have headaches, stomach aches, back aches, and aches everywhere. You also have, issues with genetics, which gives you things like diabetes and other health issues like cholesterol. And, the list goes on. You have, I think, over 9,999 different illnesses that you can get. Right, and therefore, we have what for this? We have what? Medicine. I think most people, we realize the importance of medicine. And thanks to the side effects, do we not abuse it? I know growing up, my parents would always say, taking a lot of medicines will ruin your liver. Right? So don't take lots of medicines. It'll ruin your kidney, so don't take lots of medicines. Those are side effects. However, most things that people currently abuse, substance abuse, they have come from medicines themselves. they've come from medicine themselves. It's just that people were addicted, right? It has an addictive nature. Therefore, people couldn't stop themselves and now have abused it. For example, there are people that I know of that abuse paracetamol. They have the smallest of headaches, right? Something they can bear, but yet they take a paracetamol. Or two paracetamol tablets. Not because it's painful. More because they enjoy the feeling of being pain-free. Like, I know people who, even if they don't have a cough, will consume cough medicine. Why? I think I'm also a person who used to do this. Is, you know, growing up, you had like flavored syrups. Yeah. You know, you've got like the strawberry flavored, I can't remember what it was. Like strawberry flavored syrups. Sometimes, like, for example, if my sisters were sick, I would also go to Amma and be like, Amma, I think I'm coming up with a fever as well. Why? Nothing more than just to taste that, you know, strawberry taste for a bit. Again, as we go along the path, as we go along this journey through the passage of time, through the passage of samsara, we have lost the meaning of medicine as well. And of course, you know, medicine has been used, is can be used for bad things, well, not bad, but not things the body needs, unfortunately. So these are the four things the body needs. Now, what does the mind need? Now, according to several psychologists, psychiatrists, and whatnot, one of the main things that they say the body needs, or the mind needs, is what? Love. It needs love. Now, I'm not going to say that, you know, that you can grow up without love. I'm saying that, does the mind need love? Now, this is okay. Don't get me wrong here. Now, I'm not someone who's against love, right? You know, no one wants love. Let's fight against love. No, I'm not saying anything about that, because I know that it's very important. For example, they've had several experiments where, you know, there have been several cases where a child cannot survive without the mother's love. Of course. You know, samsara has to happen, right? For samsara to happen, there needs to be a connection, right? They say that, you know, that a baby has to be in the mother's arms, right? It's only once it's in the mother's arm does it get, you know, when you're in your mother's arms, do you feel the pressure? And only when you feel the pressure do you realize that I have hands, I have arms, I have legs. So, it's not me going against this, but I want to really ask the question, do we need love? Do we really need love? The answer to this can only come when you look at what the mind truly is. If you don't know what the mind is, you think it's a very simple answer, yes. But when you look and you think about what the mind truly is, the answer to this question becomes, well, questionable. Why? How does the mind work? What is the purpose of a mind? The purpose of the mind is very simple. To know and to find out. It's to know and to find out. That is the purpose of the mind, to perceive, very simply. Okay, what can the mind perceive? Sight. Sound. smells, taste, touch, and thoughts. What part of the mind can feel love? It's very interesting because, you know, looking around the world, different people show their affection differently. Some people are very verbal about it, right? You know, they have to express it through what? Words. Some people, they can't express it through words. Instead, they express it through what? Action. I know people that, you know, they cannot express their feelings through words. So they'll never say to their child that, you know, puta or dua, especially in very Asian countries, we don't hear this often, is that, you know, I really love you. We very rarely hear this. Because we're not people, the culture that we grew up in isn't a very vocal culture. It's a very physical one. Therefore, you know, parents don't go and tell their child, "Oh, I really love you." Instead, what do? Spend sleepless nights, sacrifice everything they have, expecting, well, their child to be good. So different people express their love differently. And that can only be perceived by what? But we see, hear, smell, taste, and touch, and think. These things are what makes us feel what? Love. Now, this could be love in any way that you possibly want. Because today we're talking about Valentine's. It could be love in any way that you want it to be. But does the mind need love? It does. But not the love that you think. Not the love that comes into your mind when we say love. Not the, you know, coming to the doorstep with a bouquet of flowers and a box of chocolate. That's not the love we're talking about. This love is different. This love could only be given by someone who understands what love truly is. Can only be given by someone, or can only be shown by someone who knows who you truly are. It cannot be given by anyone else. And what love is this? What love is this? This is the love of what? This is the love, or the noble love, in other words, metta. Noble love. Because if you really think about this, when we talk about what love truly is, and again, I'm not here to critique love, right? I don't want to go into this, because that's going to cause lots of people to, you know, really, you know, not really, because it's something that we don't really talk about, really. It's not something that we talk about, because it's something that people have deep rooted into their hearts. So I'm not here to critique it. I just want to ask some questions. You give me the answers. I don't want to give you answers. I want you to think about these. So, like I was saying, you know, love isn't something that can be given to you. It can only be shown. Different people show it differently. But yet we all feel the sense of what? Affection. However, if you really think about this, the words "I love you," that "you" that we talk about, that's not the full sentence. That "I love you" is not the full sentence. "I love you" is not the full sentence. It's only a part of the sentence. Yeah, let's write this down, right? Unfortunately, we don't have pink. The best color after pink is red, right? This is only half the sentence. This is only half the sentence, with lots of it missing. What is the full sentence? There's another four words that we have to add to this. Another four words. Wait, four or five? I can't count. Hold up. Five words. Should be five words. What is it? What are the five words that we're missing? So you know how we shorten words? So do not becomes don't, right? Could not becomes couldn't, right? Just like that, we've shortened this, right? We've shortened a sentence into three words. What is the full sentence? See, the opposite of red is green, but green is a good color, so we're gonna use black. See, colors are very important. Because colors exist, right? That's why it's important. So what is the full sentence? I'll start it off, right? And I'll say, there's a word that goes between love and you. What? What's the word after you then? There's two other words. There was just four. I was right. I can count. What's the next word? There we go. The most important part. Because it's not what you do. It's not what you do. It's what you do for me. So, you know, to shorten it all, we say what? I love you. But if we were to expand it, I love what you do for me. It's very interesting because this is what we've come to understand what love is. I like, yeah, you know, I get flowers. I like that. You know, every Valentine's Day, you know, they come with a box of chocolate, right? I love chocolate. Even if you don't like chocolate, you like the idea of giving, right? You like gifts, right? No matter what it was. Even if it was a chocolate that you don't like, the idea of giving is something that we enjoy. We like presents. So what do you do for me? You give me presents I like. Because this is what we can perceive. This is what the mind can actually perceive. What? Sights, sounds, smells, taste, touch, and thoughts. You make me feel what? Cared for. You say nice words. You smell good. You make good food. But this is what it is. I love what you do for me. Now you can say, sorry, Nancy, but this is really selfish, right? I mean, no, it's not just for me that I enjoy. You know, they help other people. They help other people. I like that. They're very nice to other people. I like that. Even though they are nice to other people, why do we like it? Because what they're doing makes us feel what? Good. For example, let's take a good example, right? Let's take the example of that a person that you love, right? That you know, you want to be your Valentine, right? Really loves helping the neighbors. But your neighbors are very, what's the word? Suspicious. So they like helping, but the neighbors are suspicious. Do you like it? No. Because why? It's not doing anything for what? For me. Now I feel suspicious. I'm doubting this. Don't like that. Because if we were to truly ask, what is the underlying reason for all of this? It's the feeling that the other person can make you feel what? At the very last layer, the very bottom layer, the reason why we say this is because the other person makes you feel what? Makes you feel what? Makes me feel me. Makes me feel me. Makes me feel acknowledged. Makes me feel special. Makes me feel protected. Makes me feel cared about. Makes me feel loved. I'm just saying, makes me feel, makes me feel, makes me feel. You know, a question that comes up in all our lives, right, as we go further through life, is the question is, what will happen when I grow old? Who will look after me? You know, you see those, you know, films where the couple grows old together, right? Sits on the porch, right? Sipping on their tea together. And you think, wow, I wish I could have something like that. It's because we have the sense of, we have the sense of uncertainty of what? Of what? What the future will hold. Do I want to be lonely? I don't want to be lonely. I want to have someone with me. I want to have a child that can, you know, that can look after me when I need it. Again, this isn't something that you love about them. It's something you love that they do for you. So, the words, I love you, holds the massive feeling that, you know, you're doing something for me. This is what we've come to understand love to be about. And this is the trap that, you know, I want to say almost everyone falls into. Almost everyone falls into. Because they don't realize what? They don't see, they don't open their eyes. They don't see what is this, what is truly happening. Unfortunately, you know, in society, in this day and age, we are coming to see that, you know, we say that we're evolving, right? We're evolving to become greater people with massive technology, right? We have AI, we're going to the moon, and we've got spaceships, and we've got all this stuff. But while we are evolving with technology, we are unevolving our mental state almost. Because how do I phrase this in a very nice way? Because I have to think about that, don't I? The things that were culturally accepted before, or culturally rejected before, are becoming more normalized. Thanks to the era of the internet. Thanks to the information era. So, just as, you know, back in the past, people used to fall into this trap in their early 20s. Nowadays, people fall into this trap in their early 10s. Because we don't, because we don't understand what this truly is before, at least. Therefore, how can the younger generations also know what this truly is? They don't. They see, because if you look at it, right, in this day and age, almost every sort of mass media, we see something like this going underlining. For example, you know, something that, you know, all children have always watched is what? You know, Disney. Now, this is not me saying Disney is bad, you know. Growing up, Disney was one of my favorite things, right? Favorite franchises. But looking back at it, the sort of views they give us, you know, I remember watching Cinderella, right? Sleeping Beauty. But they all show and portray a sort of this, which a child, when they look at this, what do they think? I want that. I want that. And so we are although we are evolving in humanity, we are devolving, right? De-evolving in our mental or in the mental state of people. This is why it's really important to understand what this truly is. That's why, you know, the mind doesn't need this. Because the mind only needs what? Sight, sound, smells, taste, touch, and thoughts. It's only a stimulus. That's all the mind needs. However, the mind does need... does need this, but not in that form. It needs... noble love. Because what is noble love? Noble love isn't I love what you do for me. It is I understand. It's not I love how you do this for me. It is I understand. That is what noble love is. It's I understand. I understand what? I understand who you are. I understand what you're doing. Because once a person has noble love, once a person has noble love, they realize they come to the realization that there is nothing that they need from the other person. Because because what relationships are about, it's about depending on another person, right? If the other person's sad, what are you supposed to be? When the husband is sad, the wife has to be. When the wife is angry, the husband has to be. When the wife is angry, if the husband's happy, what happens? What happens? Nothing happens. They live happily ever after. No, then it becomes a battlefield, right? A field like guns filled with words, right? Harsh words. And, you know, one thing leads to the other, and then you finally regret what you've said or done. Because you're dependent on the other person. Something that you can really think about is that what normal love is almost the exact same as what? A business deal. I will do this for you. However, you have to do this for me. If you don't do this for me, I will not do this for you. That sounds very like a professional deal, right? And you go to like two businesses coming together and say, okay, I will supply the bread if you supply the jam. If you don't supply the jam, I will not supply the bread. Right? And our deal is off. That is exactly what a relationship is. I will call you this if you call me that. If you call me anything else but that, I will make sure I will not call you this, but I'll call you that. Now, in our heads, different things will come by, right? Through experiences, through knowledge, through our lives, we've seen these. Because it's exactly like a business deal. It's exactly like a business deal. You're almost doing a business with the other person. However, you're not businessing any assets. You're businessing with life. You have to listen to my entire story. And I will listen to your entire story. If you don't listen to my entire story, I won't listen to yours. Or if you don't tell me if you don't listen to my story of what I have done through the day properly, right, and answer my questions, right, I will not be calling you this. This is a business deal. It's very common, isn't it, that one of the partners, they have something really important to say. If the other partner does not respond correctly, what is this? It turns into what? Why don't you understand what I'm feeling? You see, this is the thing, right? What we don't understand is this is entirely talking about what they're doing for me. If you're not listening to me, I'm not going to do this for you. But that's love. That's normal love. We're talking about noble love. What is noble love? Noble love is the ability to give not the person, but the mind. What? True love, or the understanding of what? Of who they truly are. Because the only people who can give noble love are the people who understands who you truly are. Who are you truly? I am what? No matter how you answer that question, it's going to be wrong, isn't it? You can't answer that question. No, I am. It is what? I feel. I sense. I feel that I am important. I feel that, you know, you have to do this for me. A person who can give noble love is someone who can understand who you truly are. Understanding that you're a mind. A mind, unfortunately, with ignorance. Therefore, because of ignorance, what do we feel? Or what does that mind feel? That mind feels what? The mind feels dukkha. Now, when we talk about dukkha, we're not talking about, you know, suffering. Right? We're not talking about, you know, old age, sickness, death. We're not talking about, you know, losing loved ones or anything. That's not the dukkha we talk about. Because the Buddha doesn't come to this world to talk about this dukkha. The Buddha does not come to this world to explain that, you know, if something doesn't go your way, you'll be angry. I think even a five-year-old knows that. A five-year-old knows that, you know, if Amma gives me broccoli, I don't like it. A five-year-old knows that. But what the five-year-old doesn't know is why. Why does it feel what? Me. I. A person who can give noble love is someone who understands who I am. Who I, or what I, truly is. who understands that a person is just a mind and a body, a mind with ignorance, a mind that works according to the level of vexation that they have in their mind, to the level of mental pressure they have in their mind. They'll say things and do things to relieve this pressure, not because they are angry, not because they love you, not because of anything, but to relieve this pressure, to get what they want done. Once the person can understand them, then can they show true noble love. Honestly, this is not noble love. This is... true love. Because this is what love truly is. This is why love can only be given by someone who understands what love is. Love can only be given by someone who understands what love is. If they don't know what love is, how can they give it? Like, for example, okay. Let's say someone asked for a Michael clock. Right? Bring a Michael clock. Come on. Who knows where the closest Michael clock is? Who knows where you can purchase a Michael clock? We don't. Because we don't know what it is, how can you give it to someone? How can you own and give it to someone if you don't know what it is? Just like that. If we don't know what love is, how can you give it to someone? That's why for Valentine's, understand what love truly is. Understand what love truly is. And not to fall into the trap of society. Not to fall into the trap that society places so beautifully, right, on a bed of roses. A question that I remember having, right, is because, whenever you go to the shop, there's always near Valentine's, there'll be a massive stall filled with what? Red roses. Because somehow red roses are what symbolizes what? Symbolizes what? Love. Why? How? What's so special? Actually, it makes sense. Actually, thinking about it makes sense. Because what do roses always have? What do roses always have? It's got beautiful, lush, red petals. Right? It's got an amazing scent. But what do roses always have? Growing on its stalk. It's got thorns. So actually, if thinking about it, it's actually the best flower to give for Valentine's. Because why? On the outside, it looks so good. It smells so good, but when you hold on to it, you have to be careful. Because, you could hold on to the wrong place and prick yourself. Actually, sorry, I've answered my question. I was going to ask, why was red roses the symbol of Valentine's Day? Now I understand. Now I understand. It's because of the thorns. Of course. Because it may look good, may smell good, may it doesn't make a sound, but it does all this. However, the stalk is what? Filled with what? Sharp thorns. You hold on to it. You call it mine. And that leaves you with what? Cuts. That's actually a very beautiful analogy. So, I was going to ask, literally 2 seconds ago, why is red roses a symbol of Valentine's? Right? Why is it a symbol of Valentine's? Why can't it be a jasmine? This is the thing, we fall into this trap. You see massive. Now, again, I'm not against Valentine's. Please, right? If you celebrate Valentine's, please give your loved one a massive bouquet of roses. I don't mind. This is not me saying anything about what? Valentine's Day. Not me telling you anything about love. I'm just asking you questions. Asking you questions and slowly showing you what I think the answers are. If you think the answers are different, well, that's you. That's what you think. So this is not saying, you know, don't do anything for Valentine's. You see, the one reason that one reason that I think Valentine's is important is because you're able to show someone that you truly appreciate for what they do for you, that you appreciate what they do for you. Or else you don't find time, because nowadays we are becoming more and more busy. And, you know, going to work, schools, and not even that, you know, even when we come home, we're stuck on our devices, right, trying to keep up with social media, right? And so we don't find enough time to actually show gratitude for the people who actually care about you, who actually sacrifice things for you, right? Now, this is not talking about just, you know, a husband, a wife, a girlfriend, or boyfriend. I'm talking about anyone who cares for you. That's why Valentine's Day, I think, is important. You can take some time to actually, you know, show gratitude to people that, you know, who care about you. But apart from that, all the other, you know, chocolates and well, actually, you know, you're giving someone chocolates. Why? If you love a person, would you give them chocolates? Here, take a big box of chocolate. You know, if you consume all of this in one go, you'll get diabetes. So here. You know, these are the questions that should be coming through your minds. See, Valentine's Day is not wrong. It's a very good day to ask questions, right? What true love truly is. What true love truly is. You know the idea of, you know, love at first sight. You know, love at first sight, you know, you see in these movies, right? Two people, they come together, they look at each other and they're like, oh my God, this is my soulmate. This is the one made for me, right? I have to have them in my life. If we looked at love at first sight with the lenses of reality, what is it? Love at first sight, what is it? What is it that what in reality, what is actually happening here? What is actually happening here? Here's where you see my amazing drawings. Unfortunately, I can't draw humans to save my life. So I'm going to draw a stick man. There's a person. Right? Now let's say we fell in love, if it's just by looking, right? Love at first sight. What are we falling in love with? What are we actually falling in love with? Right. Love at first sight. So we're falling in love with not the person, but what? Now when we talk about sight, what are we actually talking about? What can you really see? What can you really see? They're wearing some red shirt. Right? They're wearing a red shirt. What can you see? Well, what can you perceive? Ah, they're wearing a what? A red shirt. Right? Let's give this person hair. This is, see, I have amazing drawing, you'll see. Right? See, it's drawn in such a way that you can't say if it's a boy or a girl. See, it's amazing. I'm just like Leonardo da Vinci. hair. What can you see? Can you see hair? You can't see hair. You can perceive hair. What can you see? Love at first sight. We're talking about sight here. What can you see? All right, let's say the hair color is black. What can you see? Black. What can you see? Red. They're wearing green jeans. Oh, that's cool. That's blue because jeans are normally blue. Blue jeans. Right. Blue skinny jeans. Right. Now, what do you perceive? What do you see? Sight. What do you see? Blue. So. It's a black square. There's a red square. And underneath all of that, you have a green square. Love at first sight. This is the combination of what? This is the combination for what? Love. Right? Forget this person. This is what you see. Right? This is what you perceive. Love at first sight. Wow. I love the color black, red, and blue. Blue, yes. I love the color black, red, and blue. Wow. Oh my God. I'm falling in love. Really? Is that how it works? Love at first sight. See, we can take it one step further. Where is this color? Where is the color black? Where is the color red? Where is the color blue? Where is it? Where? Where is it? Coming from that person, right? Coming from that person, right? You know, their hair is black. They're wearing a red top and some blue skinny jeans. It's coming from them, of course, because they have got black hair, right? See, once you enter the journey of Nibbana, right? Once you come to this journey, everything becomes. You have two feelings. Either you feel like this is like a joke, right? It's almost like a joke because you think, okay, where is this color actually coming from? The black is coming from their hair. Hair? Okay, let's say, let's do something else. Let's give them something. No. This will ruin the picture, but you know, I do want to get this done. They've got green eyes. Right. And so we have more. This is blue, right? This is what color? This is the blue color. This is green. So what color is this? What color is this? So don't get muddled up, right? This is blue. Right. So the colors that come from this person, colors that come from this person is actually from where? Is actually from where? The? But yeah, don't we feel that it comes from this person? We feel that, you know, their hair is black, their eyes are green, their top is red, they're wearing blue skinny jeans. We feel as though it's coming from that, but yeah, we know what? Love at first sight. You're falling in love with what? Colors of what? Colors coming from what? The? So, can't we say it's not love at first sight? but rather, or you love them at first sight, but rather, you love you at first sight. Right?
Because the color comes from where?
Here. Because the things, the color that we perceive isn't something that comes from this. Instead, this is only, you know, just giving a certain wavelength, a wavelength of light. What color is that wavelength? We don't know. We have no idea. However, when you and I perceive it, we perceive what? Green. Is the color green that you perceive and the color green that I perceive, is it the same? So is this blue that you perceive and I perceive the same? Is this blue? Is this blue? If this is blue, then what is this? If this is blue, then what is this? If this is green, then what is this? See, the colors that you and I both interpret aren't the same. They aren't the same. You know, something that I've wondered, right, is how do I know what the color red truly is? Like, how do I know that, you know, my eyes are showing me exactly what red is? For example, you know, on cameras, especially like on smartphones, you can invert colors. So black becomes white, white becomes black. And if you take a picture with inverted colors, you look at it and you think, what is this? I remember I used to scare my sister by taking photos of her using the inverter and showing it to her. And she used to get really scared because she'd be like, that's not me. It has my outline, but the colors are wrong. But then my question was, well, how do I know that I'm seeing the world in the right way? When actually what I'm seeing is inverted. So in other words, how do I know that I'm seeing red, not green? And this is green, not red. How do I know that? The only way I can actually confirm this is if I went and asked you. Is that how I can confirm it? If this is red? If this is really red, I can only confirm if I asked you, right? But how do I know that what you're seeing is the right one? For example, there are some people who are very, very sensitive to color. You know, there are several tests online, you know, colorblind tests, right, where you look at it and you try to find the different shades. I've known people who couldn't pass three. And I know people who can complete it and still find difference, subtle differences. Why? Because their eyes work in a certain way. How do I know what I'm seeing is right? No, because this is not giving green. This is giving a certain wavelength. Our eyes are interpreting it and sending it as electrical impulse to the brain. The brain takes it, puts it together, and sends it to the mind. The mind says, I'm seeing green. But is the green really coming from this? No, green is the perception that the mind makes. So when you fell in love with this person, love at first sight, what are you falling in love with? Your perception. In other words, what is your perception also equal to? What do you also perceive with when you perceive this? What else do you sense or feel? So instead of at first sight, right? I'm gonna write that down. I fell in love with what? Me, at first sight. Because why? We're talking about what? Perceptions happen at what? In the mind.
mind.
So did you fall in love with the person or did you fall in love with yourself?
I will sacrifice anything for me. I will do anything for me. I'm sorry, I'm ruining your Valentine's. You know, it's not my fault. You know, it's their fault. You know, love at first sight. What am I supposed to do? It's not really love at first sight. Instead, it's what? Instead, it is desire at first sight. It's not love at first sight, but desire at first sight. Because what people have started to, you know, started to not remember what love truly means. And they've substituted love for the idea of desire. Unfortunately. I want them. I must have them. But what is true love? Love isn't about loving them. Love is by understanding their mind. That this mind is what? This mind is what? Has ignorance. Thinks that, you know, that they can be happy if this happens. But yet they fall into the same trap. The same trap. Because of ignorance, they have what? Jati. They have the sense of self. Because of the sense of self, what happens? Day by day by day, every single moment that passes, they have what? Jara marana shoka paideva dukkha domana supayasa. And the 11 great fires follow. 11 great fires follow. What are you supposed to do? That's why you have to be compassionate. That's why a person who is practicing, who practices noble love or true love, has no enemies, but also doesn't have any best friends. Because why? They understand what? Who is an enemy? A mind with ignorance. Who is a best friend? A mind with ignorance. Both of them, because of ignorance, feels what? Dukkha. Because of dukkha, what do they feel? So best friend giving me a box of chocolates. That's because of what? An ignorant mind. A person takes my box of chocolate and throws it away. Why does that happen? Because of what? An ignorant mind. Who should this mind love and who should this mind hate? No, this mind feels true love towards both. That's why they say love your enemies. Because why? You should not have any enemies. You shouldn't have anyone you don't like. Because you realize that this is what? This is what? This is who they are. A mind and a body. Because they fall inside this trap. Unfortunately, they fall inside this trap. This is why no matter how many times we talk about these sort of things. Something that I was talking to a group of children the other day, and something that I told them is, you know, I only get to talk to all of those children once a week, maybe once every fortnight for 2 hours. Coming and showing the truth. The other days, the other hours, you're in the hands of who? You're in the hands of who? You're in the hands of Mara. Now they say what? You know, you should really love someone, fall in love with a person, right? fall in love with other people. You know, this is, you know, being in love is what humanity is for. You know, fall in love with other people. You know, do this, do that. You know, for Valentine's, go to your partner's place, or go to your partner with a bouquet of flowers and chocolates, and they'll be happy. Trust me, I know several people, right, who if you come to them with a bouquet of flowers and chocolate, they'll be like, no, thank you. No, can you please clean the toilet? That's enough for me. But I'm trying to show you my affection towards you. Chocolates? No, thank you. I'm on a diet. But yet we think that this is what society is telling us. Conventionally, this is what people are telling us. Throughout our entire samsara, this is what people have been telling us. That we need this. That as our basic need, this needs to be there. No, we need to show this. Show true love, but we don't need it. Show true love, we don't need it. Because here's the thing. If you are dependent on another person, what they do is now affecting you. Now, whatever they say, you're judging. That's why, you know, it's not just any sort of relationship. You can say one word and it ends it all. Think about this. As you're going to school, you know, sometimes with a friend, you say something wrong and they decide to end the friendship there and then. Just because of a word. Because why? They are dependent on you. You're dependent on them. By just saying something, they are changing because they're judging everything that you say, everything that you do. But a person who shows true love, what can you do to change their judgment of you? What can you do to make them feel less true love? That's why, you know, anyone who enters the gates of the monastery, no matter who they are, no matter what they've done in life, right, it doesn't matter. Each and every one of them gets what? Each and every one of them gets what? True love. In other words, unconditional love. Now, they say the only time, only people that can give unconditional love is what? Is who? Is a mother to their children, right? Is a father to their children. That's the only people who can give unconditional love. But isn't their love also conditioned? For example, no matter how much your mothers or fathers will say, right? If they have more than one child, there's always one person they favor. No matter how much they say, you know, puta, I love all my children equally. No matter how much they say that, they have a favorite. You know, she listens more than he does, so I like her. But yeah, but he takes more responsibility than her. I like him. Always, there's always someone that you favor. So how can you love someone unconditionally if you favor someone from the other? Wow, Buddha, you came home with 95%. Wow, I love you. That's condition, isn't it? They come out with 80%. Will they have the same amount of love? They come home with 40%. Will you show love at all? Is that love conditioned or unconditional? That's why, you know, when on Mother's Day or Father's Day, when your child comes with a card that says, Amma, you know, thank you for being the best Amma in the world, and you think, wow, I really love my child. That's also what? Conditioned. Because of this card, are you feeling this amount of love? See, if there's a because, that means it's always what? Conditioned. See, at the very basic, Dua, I love you because you're my child. Because. Because means what? It is? Conditioned. The hospital calls. Sorry, we had a bit of a switch up. You got the wrong child. Now what? What are you going to do now? I love you
because you're my child. Again, this is the only people that can give unconditional love is a person who truly understands what love is. So, mothers, fathers can give unconditional love only when they understand what true love is. Only when they understand what a mind truly is. Only when they understand what an ignorant mind can do. Only then can you show true unconditional love. Until then, your love is what? Conditioned. See, Ara Maitri isn't just words. You know, Noah Metta is not just words. May I and all beings in all worlds be free from samsara. It's not just words. Noble metta, right, or loving kindness, or noble loving kindness, it is a feeling. A feeling that can be you, that you can use with words. A feeling that you can use with actions. A feeling that you can use with thoughts. They say to live with Ara Maitri like a vehicle, like a car. Traveling from place to place, what do you use? You get into your car. Going from place to place with yourself, use loving kindness as a vehicle, as a car, as a van, as a bus, to go from place to place, to show or to feel this compassion towards each and every one of them around you. See, Valentine's Day isn't the day that you show one person love. Valentine's Day should be a day where you show everyone your true unconditional love. See, that's the thing. You don't need a day for this. You don't need a day, a specific day. The government doesn't need to come and say, you know, February the 14th. That's Valentine's Day, right? Oh, yeah, good. Still remember. February the 14th. We're officially going to name this Valentine's Day. From this day onwards, everyone will buy a bouquet of roses and a box of chocolates to give to their loved ones. Now we can earn lots of money. We don't need a day for this to happen. But having a day is good. Because only because we have Valentine's Day can we talk about stuff like this. Yeah. So is Valentine's Day bad? No. It's a day that we can actually show our noble metta to not just one or two people, but to everyone around us. Not just to a singular person, but to each and every person around you. Again, it's not just people, is it? We're not talking about people here. Love isn't just for people. It's for what? All sentient beings. Sentient in what sense? All beings that feel sentience. All beings that feel sentience. In other words, what are beings that can feel sentience? They are minds with Now, this is when we enter a territory where you have to really think. Because when we say, you know, all beings, right? The first thing that comes to our head is when we talk about beings, right? You know, show your love to all beings. What's the first thing that comes to your head? Animals. I'm gonna love and care for animals. Yes. You should show your noble metta to animals. However, be mindful about this. That doesn't mean, you know, if you're eating, you know, to leave a poor, or leave, or to, if a dog comes by, to give your food to the dog. For example, I think we've had several issues in the past where, out of compassion, because people have good hearts, especially in the monastery, people have good hearts. When they see, you know, a stray dog, and they give the stray dog food. Now, you could say that you're doing this out of compassion, out of love. But you have to be mindful about this, because what happens is if you give a stray dog, so in Sri Lanka we have, you know, it's, I think of it to be a pandemic. We have dogs everywhere. But it's how it is. That's, you know, stray dogs, if you give it food, what happens is the dogs will start to stay. Now, it's okay. However, we're in a place where lots of people come and go. And when people come and go, animals, especially stray animals, can be one of the best ways to commute diseases, right? Whether it's harmful or not, whether it's just a tick or not, whether it's just, you know, them being there or not, it isn't something that we want. So out of compassion towards the animal as well, because for example, this dog comes and bites another person. A person was walking and they fell over, and unfortunately they fell over onto a dog. The dog comes and bites the person. Now, what is the dog doing? They don't know. The dog doesn't know who they're biting. But unknowingly, what are they doing? They know they're harming someone or something. Unfortunately, so that something is someone who's practicing the path of Nibbana. So unfortunately, what does that mean for the dog? Although they don't know who they're biting, they have the intention of hurting. Out of self-preservation, right? Out of protection, they'll bite, but they have the idea, the intention of hurting. And so they have the intention and they bite, they bit someone who is practicing the path, who's trying to attain Nibbana. What does that mean? What's that vipaka? So out of great compassion, yeah. Have compassion, but also have wisdom. Be aware. Understand. Because there'll be points where you think, okay, now we've learned about love, I should show my love to everyone. And some will say, now whenever you see someone on the streets, you think, I have to give something to the person. Now again, be mindful. Now, I don't want to go and pick at every single thing again, because I trust your wisdom. But not so you won't fall into traps that people can fall into. Because this is a very, love is very dangerous. Love is very dangerous. If not seeing right, it can be one of the most dangerous things on earth. You know, they say that car crashes are what causes the main cause of death. Sometimes I disagree. Sometimes I think love is more dangerous than that. Because I think statistically every second or every minute two people, they end their lives. They end their own lives. And this is one reason. But this is also, you know, people also love what? Chocolate. That causes what? Physical issues. That causes what? Death. And people fall in love with what? Substances, drugs, alcohol, which leads to what? Health issues. Which leads to what? Death. I can't remember the exact number of deaths that arise due to drink driving. Like currently, you know, law enforcement around the entire world are trying to stop this completely. But no matter how much they try, it's going to be very, very hard. Because once you're under the influence, right? Once you're under the influence of alcohol, that's why some people know, think that they can drive very, very straight, even after they've had one or too many drinks. And so they will drive, no matter what. So, again, that happens because of this. That's why love is... I think
if I remember correctly, Mother Teresa once said that people need love and kindness more than they need bread. However, although it is one of the needs of humanity, it is one of the most poisonous things as well. Just think about how many people that want to come to this monastery but can't because of that. Who understands that their life is about to end and there's no point of doing anything in their life, however, they can't give up this. This is Mara's greatest weapon. Second greatest weapon, I think. In my eyes, it's the second greatest. The first one is sleep. Second is love. That's my opinion. Others can disagree. But love. It's one of Mara's most powerful weapons. Because once you feel that this other person is the source of your happiness, right? You can't let go. You know, I've been with this person for 5 years. How can I end it now? This is why, you know, people who, yeah, you know, we hear statistics of, you know, domestic violence, right? And always the person who's getting the abuse would say, like, I want to leave. However, I've been with this person for 15 years. How can I leave them now? Why? Because of that they're willing to put themselves through immense amount of pain, right? Immense amount of stress, immense amount of grief. For what? That's why love is a need and essential for humanity. But not love as in the normal love, but love as a noble love, true love. But unfortunately, you know, the only people who can give true love are people who understand reality. This is why each and every one of you, as you come to the monastery every single day, the level of your love and compassion will always increase. I can't remember who said this, but the boundaries of your heart, your boundaries of your heart, the people that you love, the more you practice the path, that boundary increases. So first it'll be your child and your family. And then as you understand more and more, that grows a bit bigger to, you know, your friends and extended family. And that grows bigger to the people around you. That grows bigger to people in this country. That grows bigger to people in this continent. It grows bigger to people in this world. And it grows bigger to people in this 31 realms of existence. And it grows bigger to every single beings in this entire universe. The more we practice the boundaries or the limits of how much of the people that we love grows bigger. That's why Guru Hamdru had once said, and it's something that stuck with me, is that he feels the same amount of love and compassion he does to his mother, just like he does. He feels the same amount of love and compassion that he feels about his mother to a random person in the middle of the country. He said was India. In the middle of India, in one of the slums, he feels the same amount of love and compassion. His heart has gone to such a big extent. Thanks to what? His understanding. Another thing, right? So for Valentine's, who should you give flowers to? For Valentine's, who should you give flowers to? To the one who deserves the flowers. The one who truly deserves the flowers. The one who shows true love and compassion.
The ones whose love knows no bound. The one who would travel many, many miles on foot for a singular person. You could almost say in the name of love and compassion. None other than who? The Supreme Buddha. See, whether you give roses or whether you give lilies, I don't think the Buddha cares. Right? Whether you give roses or whether you give jasmines, the Buddha doesn't mind. Because he doesn't want your flowers. He wants only one thing from all of you. If the Buddha, if you think about it, if the Buddha was truly alive today, and you come to him with flowers, like venerable, like the Supreme One, I've bought you flowers for Valentine's Day. What do you think the Buddha would say? Thank you, but no thank you. The only thing that you can do to make me fully, you can't make him feel happy, but to make him proud is what? By extending true love to others, to all sentient beings. So, for Valentine's Day, what should you do? Offer your flowers and chocolates if you want. Right, if you have chocolates in your cupboards, right, that you want to give to someone, right? You can even give it to the Buddha. Because he's the one who truly deserves it. Because the Buddha, like the more you come to understand the reality of the world, the more you realize how amazing the Buddha truly is. Yes, he passed away 2,500 years ago. Yes, all he did was he preached many, many thousands of sermons in his lifetime. But the more you understand, the depth of the Dhamma. Me and a couple of our monks, we were talking the other day, and we were explaining how we were talking to each other and discussing how the Buddha's Dhamma is like a net. Now, when I mean a net, I don't mean that it's like a trap, right? I mean a net as in the fact that every single point is connected to one another. That every sermon, every sutra that he's ever preached is connected to each and every one of them in one way or another. That's why they say the Buddha's Dhamma is perfect in the beginning, middle, and end. Because no matter where you start, you end in the same way. No matter where you start, you end in the same way. With understanding the reality of the world. No matter what sutta the Buddha explained, he's trying to explain the reality of the world. So you can get rid of what? Ignorance. His teachings are perfect in every sense of the word. His teachings are perfect in every sense of the word. That's the thing. Like, the more you understand the Buddha's Dhamma, the more you realize how amazing the Buddha must have been. Now, when we talk about the Buddha, we're not talking about a person here. Because we've gone past talking about people. Because who is the Buddha? We've gone past that. Because what is the Buddha? What is the Buddha? This ability to preach and understand the word, the reality of the world. And that's why each and every one of us has. In one way, you can think of it like this. Each and every one of us has a growing Buddha inside of each and every one of us. As we continue on our journey to Nibbana, we have a growing Buddha inside of us. So,
the thing. If we're talking about the quality of the Buddha, not a statue, not a person. If I even say he, it's not a he. It's not a it. Okay. Who owns the quality of love? Who owns it? He, she, it, they, them. Who owns the quality of love? Who owns the quality of compassion? He, she, it, they, them. Who? But in convention, we say what? The Buddha. In reality, what we mean is what? His qualities. So that's the thing, right? So today we went across and we start talking about just about Valentine's and love. See, I want you to think about this, and especially not for most of you, because you know you all live in the monastery, right? But especially for those online, because I know countless people who are stuck in the trap, right? Thinking that their only refuge is what? They're stuck in this trap, and this is why I wanted to first of all have some to give you some questions as well. Hey, even though you're at the monastery, living in the monastery, living and breathing inside the monastery's premises, I do want you to ask these questions, because the more you ask questions, the more you actually question reality. The more you question reality, the more answers that come to you, and the more you realize it. Done. So whenever things come up. For example, if your birthday is coming up, ask yourself what a birthday truly is. If Valentine's coming up, ask what is Valentine's? Why do we celebrate Valentine's? Because these are things that can trigger what? Contemplation. A great advice that my teacher had given me is, and it's surprising, don't worry. Don't attain Nibbana. My teacher told me that. You know, the other day my teacher said, don't attain Nibbana. Why am I here? Right? Don't attain Nibbana. Because this is not, we're not trying to attain Nibbana, because you can't attain Nibbana. What are we trying to do? You can't make fire. Right? You can't make fire. What can you do though? What can you do? Put the causes together. Create the environment for it. So don't try to attain Nibbana. What should you do? Create the environment for it. See, if we're too drilled down and thinking, how can I attain Nibbana? How can I attain Nibbana? How can I? You won't. Nibbana is something that you can do. All that can happen is the environment, the causes come together, and it will come to the effect of Nibbana. All you can do is what? Create the environment. Literally, I went to him and said, and I was like, you know, there are some occasions that I can't contemplate. How can I contemplate these occasions? He said, don't worry. Don't worry. Don't attain Nibbana. Just don't attain Nibbana. Just every day, just do these things. Just do these things. That's all you have to do. Don't attain Nibbana. Sounds very contradictory, right? Don't attain Nibbana, do attain Nibbana. Some people say do, some people say don't. What should we do? Just put yourself in the right environment. Once you see it to be cause and effect, it becomes really, you really understand this. For example, if you don't understand what anicca is, what should you do? Create the environment. Go and ask a person, what do you think anicca is? Because if you're standing there thinking, I don't know what anicca is, I don't know what anicca is, I don't know what anicca is, like, no deity is going to come down and say, this is what anicca is, right? It's not, it's going to pop into your head. No, you have to go and ask. Set aside ego, set aside your pride, and go and ask, you know, a three-year-old. No, not three-year-old. Don't ask a three-year-old. But ask someone who knows, who you think knows. if you think, you know, I can't, I, you know, I have a really reluct, I have a reluctance to contemplate, then put yourself into an environment surrounded by people who what? Continuously poke you and say, are you contemplating? What are you contemplating about? At the end of the day, they ask you, I really wish I can show you a box. I think Guru Nanak may have shown this box many, 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 many years ago. But one of our teachers had asked one of his students every single day to write a Dhamma point and give it to him. And he was his teacher, I think 3 years ago maybe. And I kid you not, the teacher has, how to say, this long, this wide, and I think this tall box filled with what? Dumb points. And it's not like it's been thrown in there. You know how you can neatly place. So he puts them into, he uses the same type of paper. So everything's very neat and tidy. And it's been stacked in such a beautiful way that literally you can't stick a finger in. Just filled with what? Dhamma points. And just because the teacher said, by the end of every day, right? Or whenever you possibly can, right? If you can't do it today, if you can't give it today, give it tomorrow. But hand me a Dhamma point every single day. And I swear, if I could show you the box, you'd really realize how much of the environment has changed. Now, I know this monk very personally, and I can tell you how much he has changed. It's been 3 years, and yet he still does it. It came to the point the teacher was like, you know, I don't have enough space to keep your cards, right? I don't have enough space. So write it, leave it on my table, but I don't have enough space to keep it anymore. That's how many times. See, it's environment. That's the environment that caused change. So don't attain Nibbana. Just don't. You know, breathe, don't attain Nibbana. But try your very best to create the what? Environment. Surround yourself with noble association. Surround yourself with amazing people. People who are going to push you to the absolute limit. That's why, you know, we've had, I think, Amadas and I had several sermons where he talks about the five people you associate. Ask yourself, are these people actually helping you? Because remember, our time is very limited. Our time is very limited. You know, death is always with us. Death is something that's always going to be with us. You know, they're waiting at the door. The Grim Reader's waiting at the door just to knock. And when he knocks, open the door and you have to accept it. Nothing else you can do. So your time is limited. Right? So create the environment as much as you possibly can. I think we have around the monastery, I don't know about the lower areas, but especially in the monks' quarters and whatnot, there are signs, beautiful signs of quotes. Right? Of quotes. Things that, when I mean it's there, I mean sometimes it's in the most random places. Sometimes when you close a door, it's right in front of you. Like, I think we even had, yes. And when I mean doors, I mean, you know, doors that we use very often. In toilets and whatnot. Like you close the toilet door and it's right in front of you. And these signs are things that, you know, trigger what? Contemplation. Like, for example, the other day I saw a board hung on a tree. How did I see it? God knows. But I saw it. And it said, it literally said, who are you? That's what it said. Who are you? Now, if it was a random person coming through the monastery and sees this, they'll freak out. Why did someone write who are you on a tree? But for us, what is that? Something to help us contemplate. You look at that and you ask, who are you? You know, on trees, on walls, on doors, everywhere we're trying, that our noble association is trying to create the environment to help us what? Contemplate. See, this is why. Don't attain nirvana. Don't try to become unconditionally happy. Don't do anything but create the environment. That's all you have to do. Once you do it, that's it. That's it. And also we have a Dakineyo on next Wednesday. Opoya. Again, another great opportunity. For example, last Dakineyo was like literally last week, right? Every 2 weeks, we have a Dakineyo, right? A massive event. You know, as most of us live in the monastery, we sometimes lose its value because it happens so often. You know, it happens every 2 weeks and eventually becomes, you know, another Dakineyo. You know, we had it last week. We have one next week. And we start losing its value, but we have to remember how rare this opportunity actually is. In your entire samsaric journey, how many Dakineyos have you done? Maximum, probably, I think at maximum, maybe now 30, maybe 40, I don't know. Your entire samsaric journey. Literally, it's literally like almost less than a fraction of a second. So we lose its value because, you know, we do it every single time. It becomes really normal to us. However, it's a rare opportunity. Unfortunately, we don't feel its rarity because we can't remember our past lives. If we could remember our past lives, you know, I feel we would continue to feel Dakineyo to be one of the most greatest events, because it's a time in our lives where we can actually accumulate so many great merits. So many great merits. So we do have Dakineyo coming next Wednesday, right? So today we talked about Valentine's, right? So remember on Valentine's Day to bring some flowers and some chocolate. Right? Don't forget that. They are very expensive nowadays, right? Because of Valentine's, but don't worry. You don't need roses. You can take a flower from any garden. And offer it. Offer your love to a noble love. Okay. Let's take a few moments to transfer our merits and conclude today's session. Let's take a few moments to transfer all the merits we've acquired by making offerings to the infinite virtues of the Noble Triple Gem, chanting Pirith, listening to Dharma, and engaging in various meritorious deeds today. So first and foremost, let's remind ourselves how incredibly fortunate we are to be in receipt of the Lord Buddha's teachings. And with immense gratitude, let's transfer the merits to the Bhikshu Bhikshunis, Upasakas, Upasikas, who since time immemorial have protected and preserved the sublime teaching of the Buddha and passed it down through the generation of the noble lineage in the form of the Tripitaka, which is thankfully available to us today to study, to understand, to comprehend Dhamma. Let's also take a moment to transfer merits to all the members of the Mahasangha present throughout the world, including all chief political chapters, who have dedicated their lives to the noble path and committed themselves to the betterment of all sentient beings. Let's not forget, among them will be the monks and nuns resident in local temples and nunneries who have always been by your side through thick and thin, come rain or shine, So taking him and transfer merits to Guru Swami Nansi, as well as other monks resident at the monastery, as well as Anagarikas attached to the monastery. Let's take a moment to transfer merits and special gratitude to those who make great efforts to disseminate the teaching of the Buddha, be that by translating the sermons, sharing them out with others, inviting others to join them. May the power of merits. If any of them have been born in the world of planes, may they redeem themselves and be born in the blessed plane. May by the power of merits, may they abstain from non-meritorious deeds, fulfill the meritorious deeds, fulfill the noble footpath, and attain the supreme bliss of Nibbana. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Let's take a moment to transfer merits we require to our devotees, friends of the monastery who, for sake of merits, continue to sustain the Mahasangha. This includes every one of you who have contributed to the construction of the monastery, to those of you who provide the Mahasangha with shelter, arms, roads, medicines, as well as those who pass on the know-how, extend their well wishes. May through the power of these merits, may they abstain from non-meritorious deeds, fulfill the meritorious deeds, fulfill the noble eightfold path, and attain the supreme bliss of Nibbana. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Let's take a moment to transfer our merits to our mothers, fathers, husbands and wives, brothers, sisters, sons, daughters, grandparents, uncles, aunts, cousins, nephews, nieces, friends and acquaintances, our elders, employees, employees, and to all those who've helped us, supported us, assisted us in any shape or form. By the power of these merits, may they be healed of any physical or mental ailments. May they overcome any obstacles in spiritual progress. May they abstain from the meritorious deeds, fulfill the meritorious deeds, fulfill the noble footpath, and attain the supreme bliss of Nibbana. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Let's take a moment to transfer merits to the devas, brahmas, spirits, demons, primarily the Sakudeva, as well as numerous gods and deities who have committed to protect and fulfill the Sambhadasasana. Let's not forget, among them will be our guardian deities. Our guardian deities who keep watchful eye of us and keep us out of harm's way. May they power the merits, may they prosper and find power and wisdom. May they abstain from unmeritorious deeds, fulfill the meritorious deeds, fulfill the noble footpath, and attain the supreme bliss of Nibbana. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So we'll take a moment to transfer merits to our ancestors who have predeceased us, to all those who have been friends and family to us in this infinite long journey in Sansara. Let's take a moment to transfer merits to them. So we'll take a moment to transfer merits to all those who have lost their lives. Let's take a moment to transfer merits to armed forces as well as the police force who have sacrificed their lives to protect the peace and harmony of our nation. May all those who lost life in the world in the wars be the friend of rejoice in the merits required today. So we'll take a moment to transfer merits to all those who lost their lives in natural calamities such as tsunamis, earthquakes, landslides, pandemics, reminding ourselves among them will be those who have been friends and family to us in this infinitely long journey in Sansara. May the power of these merits, if any of them have been born in the world of planes, may they redeem themselves and be born in the blissful plane. May by the power of the merits, may they abstain from the unmeritorious deeds, fulfill the meritorious deeds, fulfill the noble footpath, and attain supreme bliss of Nibbana. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. And finally, let's all resolve, may the power and blessing of all the merits required throughout the day, we may witness the advent of many hundreds of thousands of Arithanwanses, Arathmihinwanses in this blessed land. And finally, may through all the power of all the merits acquired throughout the day, you and I and everyone who made this program a success become an Arithanwanse or an Arathmihinwanse in this very life in the era of the Gautama, Supreme Buddha itself. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. May the blessings of Chubhajan be with you all. The Mahasangha will now transfer their blessing to you. Raga ginnin mhidetnva Dvesha ginnin mhidetnva Moha ginnin mhidetnva Nibbhana parama sukhain Sukita taravetnva Nibbhana parama sukhayin Sukita taravetnva Nibbhana parama sukhayin Sukita taravetnva Mamada siyalu loka Siyalu sattvayo Nibbhana parama sukhayin Sukita taravetnva Nibbhana parama sukhayin Sukita taravetnva Nibbhana parama sukhayin Sukita taravetnva Raga ghini niveva Dvesha ghini niveva. Moha ghini niveva. Nivan sepa lebeva. Nivan sepa lebeva. Nivan sepa lebeva. Tunwange, Susyananta Mahaguna Bilin, Sri Loka Siyo Satyoma, Nibbahana Paramasukhi, Sukhtaravitva.